In 20 odd years of living, I have had the chance to learn some of life's lessons, like when you go outside, wear pants. I've given quite a bit of thought to our statutes and laws, but there's one simple principle that supersedes them all. It's try not to be a dick. Cover your mouth when you sneeze so others don't get sick. Stay out of the fast lane if you are driving slow. It won't always be easy 'cause other drivers suck, I know. Just try not to be a dick.
Welcome to the Bawdy Storytelling Podcast, the original sex and storytelling series featuring real people and rock stars sharing their bona fide sexual adventures. And now, here she is, Bawdy's founder, the grand dame of dirty storytelling, that impresario of pervy personal narrative, sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Bawdy Storytelling's podcast. This is episode 5, and today we have a story that may sound a little bit local because it's based in San Francisco, but I think you're going to learn a lot from it, too. We have the largest leather and kink festival in the world right here in San Francisco, and it is called the Folsom Street Fair. Folsom Street Fair is where probably 500,000 people show up. Some of them wear clothes. Some of them wear other things, leather, bondage. They pull pony carts, furry costumes. You name it, it's there. You can watch anything. You can watch people get flogged on the street. You can get peed on because there's never enough porta potties at that place. And sometimes the Folsom Street Fair will inspire a great story. This story is from a first-time storyteller, someone who'd been sitting in the audience at Bawdy for a long time. And when he pitched me this story, my mouth hit the floor and I went, hell yeah. So this story is one we like to call Acro Yoga Got Me Laid.
Thanks, Dixie. Hi, everybody. So I was 11 when I skipped 2 grades and went to a special Catholic all-boys high school, which meant that I was 15 when I went to college at Caltech. And I was ready at that point to start having experiences with girls. But I was 2 or 3 years younger than everyone around me. And at that time, there were 3 men for every woman in the student body. And so part of this, this may have had something to do with why I became friends with this guy named Alan, who was an upperclassman who had taken a couple of extra years to graduate. And I thought he was impossibly mature and worldly because he was in his early 20s. And he always seemed to have the sexiest women as his girlfriends. And I thought maybe, you know, some of that will rub off on me, maybe something like that. So we became friends and bonded over loving science fiction and postmodern philosophy. And he told me, Eric, you have to read this author. His name is Samuel R. Delaney. Delaney, some of you guessed no. He's America's most famous gay black science fiction writer. And I read a really mind-blowing novel of his. It's called Stars in My Pocket Like Grains of Sand, which is about 2 men who are each other's perfect erotic match. But that wasn't, you know, I could sort of go past that at that point. But one thing that happens in the book is they live in a city where an important part of the city is that there are these public parks which are specifically set up for both humans and aliens to go have sex with each other. So if you're a male human who likes neuter or male aliens, there's a park for you. And this concept just blew my mind. And then I read his autobiography and found out this is not something that he just made up. It was based on his experiences in the gay cruising scene in New York in the 60s. And I'm enviously reading his autobiography where he talks about his typical workday as a writer in the early 60s. He would get up, make breakfast for his wife, so you're off to work. He'd write for a few hours. And he'd go down to the subway restroom, have sex with 3 or 5 guys. come home, make lunch, write for a few more hours, go out to a nearby park, have sex with three or five guys, come back home, maybe write for a little bit more. His wife would come home, they'd have dinner. Maybe he'd have sex with her. Maybe he'd go out again. On the weekends, he goes down to the docks at Christopher Street or to the bathhouses and participates in large orgies. And I thought, he's living in this parallel universe where he can just walk out the door and have as much sex as he wants, anytime he wants, every day. And here I'm this frustrated college student who is having a lot of problems with this. But, you know, it wasn't all just, you know, meaningless anonymous encounters for him. He also talks about in the cruising scene, he would encounter these men, and he would encounter men of different races, men of different social classes, you know, different nationalities, the types of people that in the daylight world, people would never meet up and make contact, but he would meet these people, have sex, but then he would make some kind of, you know, meaningful connection with them that would last for a short while. But he's written that, you know, he thinks this is an important part of public sex that is not often acknowledged. And Delaney is still one of my favorite writers to this day. He's 73 and still writing. So anyway, let's move forward 20 years after college. I'm married. I've moved to the Bay Area. I become part of the acro yoga scene here. And then last year, one of the members of the community says, hey, I have an idea. Let's all dress up in sexy outfits, go to the Folsom Street Fair, and demonstrate what we do to all of the people there. Now, I knew what Folsom was. I know it's a gay leather fair. I had never done anything with men up until this point, but I have this heavy voyeuristic streak in me. And I thought, well, this sounds like fun, and maybe I'll see something interesting if I go. So I'm the kind of person who, when I commit to doing something, I tend to commit to the fullest extent. So, you know, I went down to the Hate, got myself a nice mesh t-shirt and some black pleather booty shorts, and dressed up in that, went down to the fair with my friends, thinking, you know, hopefully I'll see some interesting stuff here. And so I get there, and 10 minutes in, after walking to the gate, I see two women in denim up against a fence. They're kissing passionately, and one of them has her hand down the other's pants. And so I realized, okay, I am going to see something interesting here today. So I, you know, stand on some people's shoulders, and I have people standing on my hands. I do some basing. I do some flying. We're having a good time. And as things happen, things start getting more and more crowded as the day goes on, and eventually it's just this shoulder-to-shoulder crush of bodies everywhere. And you've got people in leather and in chains and in rope and in rubber. And I realize, hey, you know, it's kind of like I've wandered into this strange park filled with fantastic creatures who all want to have sex with each other. And, you know, occasionally I get separated from my friends and I'm moving through the crowd. And if you've been there, you know, it's this crush of the crowd, but occasionally this little pocket will open up where there'll be something happening like, oh, it's three guys who are playing with each other's dicks. Or, oh, here's someone on his knees sucking off his friend. And, you know, I'm trying to play it cool because I know that's what you're supposed to do. You know, don't gawk and stare too much. But, you know, it's kind of hard when, you know, this is the first time you're like, wow, that guy's getting sucked off right in the middle of the street. So the day goes on and, you know, I'm having a good time with my friends, but eventually we split up to do our own thing and the things start to thin out. And I've been kind of infected by the energy of the place. And I'm like, okay, you know, let's take this a step further here. You know, maybe I can do some things that I've never done before. So if you've been to Folsom, you know that guys tend to stand along the side of the street up against the walls of the buildings with very little clothing on, masturbating all day as people go walking by. So I took a deep breath and spotted one guy who seemed pretty good looking, wearing the leather cap and vest and no pants, sitting there playing with himself. So I go up to him and I say hello and I sort of lean in. And I'm like, do you need any help with that? And he says, knock yourself out. So now I'm in this situation. I've never done this before, but, you know, I've done this with myself. So I'm like, okay, what I know that works, all right. So let's, you know, take kind of a firm grip on this. And he had helpfully oiled it up already. And, you know, when you get over the head, give it a little twist. And, you know, keep that up, make a good rhythm. And after a little while, I sort of leaned in and said, so is this good for you? And he's like, yeah, that's great. And I say, so you know, I've never touched a guy like this before. And he says, happy Folsom. So I go on to repeat this about four or five more times with other guys. And and they're good sports. Quite a few of them, you know, a few of them say, I go in and I more or less use the same line. You need any help with that? Many of them says, no, I've got it under control. Thanks very much, but thank you for asking. You know, you're very attractive, but, you know, I'm all right. Others let me go for it. So this went on for a little while. I'm excited. So at one point, I'm crossing the intersection at 9th and Folsom because things are really beginning to thin out. People are starting to leave. There are these two guys. They've got on like flannel shirts and baseball hats and denim shorts. And one of them's got his pants down around his knees, and his friend's holding him and says, hey, who wants to come suck this guy's dick? So I'm like, okay, here's my opportunity. So I head on over and say, I'll do that. And so squat down in front of the guy, and I'm trying to remember, okay, what have I read about this? All right. Don't use your teeth. And okay, you know, I'm a yoga practitioner, so I know how to breathe through my nose, so that's not a problem. So I'm going at this. I've got this guy's dick. It's a nice size. It fills up my mouth. I'm not choking. And after a little bit of this, I hear a guy yell, hey, look, that guy over there is sucking that guy's dick right out in the middle of the street. And I realize, wait, I've become that guy. So anyway, so that happened. And so things are really starting to end. It's about six. People are leaving. And I decide, well, I've seen these flyers around saying that the official play space of the fair is this club called Blow Buddies. Some of you may have heard of it. It's on Harrison Street. It's a classic gay sex club. You go in, it's very dark, there's music playing. It's got one area that has like this pit with a ledge around it and thing walling it off, and glory holes so that people can stand in the upper part, people down in the lower part can suck them off. You've got these booths if you want privacy, but they all have a hole at the eye level and a hole at the crotch level so you can take a peek in. There's like a maze where you can wander around and you might, you know, come around the corner and look, oh, it's four guys who are all fooling around. So, you know, I go in and, pay my $25, sign some forms, and become a card-carrying member of a club I had no idea would ever have me as a member. And so I'm going around, and, you know, I've read Delaney's fiction about these kinds of public sex environments, and I'm like, okay, you know, I kind of feel like I know what I'm supposed to do here. And so, you know, I try out some of these things, like, you know, you walk by someone, you give them a little look down, a little look up like this, you know, and see an invitation, or you might walk by, give them a little brush on the hip to let them know that you're up for something. And, you know, surprise, it's all more or less working. And I'm having a good time. And this place is packed because the day of Folsom is their Black Friday. It's just filled with people. Busiest day of the year. So there are all sorts of people there. Most of them are still in their fair fetish gear. But I noticed this guy at one point across the room from me. And he's wearing a button-down shirt, some kind of striped button-down shirt and khakis. And he's walking around looking very nervous. And everyone's been so nice to me today that I decide, this guy looks like he could use a friend, and I'll go up and talk to him. So I go over and I say, hey, is it your first time here too? And he looks at me and says, oh my God, is it that obvious? And we get to talking, and I learn that his name is Tom, and Tom is from out of town in Salt Lake City, and he's here with his partner, and they're getting married the next day in San Jose. And Tom's partner had been to places like this many times, but Tom had never been, and he wanted to see it at least once. And we got to talking, and he starts pouring out all about how he's very nervous about getting married and, you know, things going on. Is it going to work out? And he's never been in a place like this. And, you know, I had never been to a place like this before, but I had been married for over 10 years, so I thought I could help him out a little bit. And so, you know, I gave him a little consolation, tried to be his friend there. And, you know, at one point he turns to me and he says, I'm so glad that I'm able to talk to you. It's like you're an angel from heaven who was sent down to talk to me today. And I continued walking around the club that night and doing various things, and I would occasionally spot Tom, pass him, you know, as I'm going by, and he would say, "Oh, look, it's my good friend Eric here." And at one point, even he comes up to me and he says, "Oh, you'll never believe it. This guy that I never met let me put my hand on his penis." He was so excited. So I saw a lot of things there that night, and I've actually been back quite a few times since then. Unfortunately, I haven't ever heard from Tom again. And I hope that he's living his dream of a nice married life with his partner and that things are working out for them. But I realized that, my favorite author, Samuel Delaney, he was really right about one thing. It's that even in this odd environment, it's like where people are just having anonymous sex with each other, you can meet someone that you never would have expected to meet before and make a very brief but otherwise meaningful connection with them. And that was the perfect capstone for a day of many first times for me. So thanks very much.
If you enjoy reading, we've learned a little bit more about the life of Samuel R. Delaney. Makes me want to read his books that much more, I know that's for sure. And I thought Eric Schneider did a great job with that story, didn't you? And if you want to keep more of that coming, support our Patreon. We're at patreon.com/body. Subscribe, tell your friends. That's how we get to the place where you get so much story, you're like, I wish that lady would shut the fuck up. Thank you to the team that brings this podcast to you. And I can tell you, I couldn't do it by myself. It took other people who understood technology, people who actually cared about putting these stories into the world to make this happen. Thank you to our producer, Matthew Martyr, to David Grossoff, Joe Moore, Ruben Tan, and the team that helps us create the live shows. Live shows is what we're all about. Come see one near you. We're in 4 or 5 cities now and soon to be more. And if you want us in yours, send me an email, dixie@bodystorytelling.com. And I've been getting emails so far from Detroit and from Sacramento and from several places in Europe. And I don't think I've heard from you yet. So get on that, will you? Upcoming live shows include in San Francisco on Wednesday, November 9th. Our theme is More, 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 Tales of Size Queens, Nymphomaniacs, and Power Bottoms. Soon after, Dark Odyssey Surrender. That's a kink conference. You got to be signed up for the conference to see this show. And we're also going to be having a mini slam at the end, so you might be able to get on stage and tell your own story, too. That show is on Sunday, November 13th. Right after that, December 8th in Chicago, we're still accepting pitches. So send me your story of didn't see it coming to dixie@bodystorytelling.com. The music for this episode is provided by Emily Yates, eventual ukulele superstar. She has a song called Try Not to Be a Dick, and I love it, but she made it even better by performing it on our stage and making it extra, extra dirty. So both versions are available out there on the internet. Let's talk soon. Thanks. Have a good one.
When you stand on the escalator, would you please step to the right so that if I need to pass you, we won't have to fight. The concept's pretty simple. A child could comprehend that you should turn your blinker on before you round the bend and try not to be a dick. Cover your mouth when you sneeze so others don't get sick. Stay out of the slow lane if you wanna pass. I'm here to take it easy, man, so please stay off my ass and try not to be a dick. When you're peacefully assembling in a public place and the cops come to disperse you with their tear gas and their mace, the urge to fight against them will be quite strong. But instead of violence, just sing them this song. Say, try not to be a dick. Put away your pepper spray and your big nightsticks. Remember, we're just people trying to get by. So think ahead before you let those lend your ear to me. You don't have to be perfect, neither do I. All that we can really do is give it a try. And try not to be a dick. Cover your mouth when you sneeze so others don't get sick. Stay out of the fast lane if you were driving slow. It won't always be easy 'cause other drivers suck, I know. Just try.